Good morning. Well, that's not very enthusiastic. Good morning. I bet you guys are louder than that when the Chiefs play. Good morning. That's better. My name is Brian English, if you didn't know. I'm the assistant coach over Sunday school, and I am very happy to be here. Maywood is a very special place, and I know I say that every time I'm here. Side note, I've not preached since we have the new system, and it sounds weird. But I know I say it's a special place, and I never really tell you why, and part of the reason why is my life has been drastically transformed while I was at Maywood in ways that I can't even describe. And look, I'm not one of those people who came to Maywood because I really wanted to. Like, I had to be kicked, poked, prodded, and pressured into coming to Maywood. God continued to tell me about this place, and I continued to tell him no, 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 no. Mostly because Josh Monk was here, and I didn't like him. We had history. I was a drug dealer. He robbed drug dealers. So I tried to stay away from him. But finally, I got so sick of God telling me to come here that I came, and I went downstairs, and Josh was teaching, and he was teaching about, but the sentence that got me here, he talked about cooking meth, murder, and Jesus all in the same sentence, and it made sense. I've been here ever since. But coming here, like I said, my life is so 100% different. I'm not, okay, let's call it 95. There's still some old stuff I need to get rid of. I'm not there, right? But my life is night and day different than it was before. And it's not just me. You can look around. I'm not the only one. I see people right here, right? It's hard to look somewhere and not see a miracle here, right? And so that being said, this church has a special place in my heart. And look, I know technically church isn't the building, it's the people. And we can have church anywhere. But that being said, there's something about this place. There's something about this building. It's something about what God has done at Maywood Baptist Church that it would take a burning bush to get me out of here, right? He'd have to be very clear to get me to go somewhere else. And I imagine, am I the only one? I agree. And so feeling very protective and special about your place of worship is not something new to Maywood Baptist. This is something that's been going on forever. Like, people always do that. And another group of people, thanks for changing that slide, by the way. That was a good call. Another group of people who felt a certain kind of way about their place of worship were the Israelites in Jesus' time. So while we feel like God shows up and we espouse to believe that, they are told in the Word that the temple in Jerusalem was God's chosen spot to show up. That was where he made an appointment to be. God's everywhere, but he made an appointment to commune with the believers there, right? It was a big deal, so much so that even though they had synagogues around the temple in all the outlying areas, they would pray towards the temple because that was God's house, right? It was a very special place. So take how we feel about Maywood Baptist Church and multiply it by an order of magnitude, and that'll give you a small feeling of how important the temple was to them. It was a big, big deal, right? And so we have a group of people back then who were very protective and venerated their house of worship strongly. Then you have us. You know, and there's some similarities. It's real easy to look at the Israelites and be like, you guys were idiots. How did you miss this right in front of your face, right? You know, but we kind of do the same thing. And so God has basically given us and them a place to come together, a place that he chooses to show up, a place that miracles can happen. And what did they do? And what did we do? What does man often do when God gives good things? Anyone got an idea? Mess it up. Mess it up. That's what we do, right? And God is full of grace, and he understands we are who we are. We messed up, but that doesn't mean he likes it. And even when he gives us grace, he still feels a certain kind of way when we do those things. And today, that's what we're going to see. Jesus himself rolls up into the temple, and he's going to tell them exactly how God felt about it, right? Real quick, let's pray before I forget. Dear Lord Jesus, you're an awesome God. And Lord, I am so not worthy to be up here. And Lord, if there's anyone in here that should be deserving to get preached to and not preaching today, it's me. But Lord, I would just ask that your will get done and my words are your words, Lord. And let this not be about me and let it be about you. And I'd ask the words that I say are the words that you want them to hear. And I'd ask that everyone sitting in the audience today, whatever piece is for them, you just let them grab hold, take hold, take it in, and make it so. In Jesus' name, pray, amen. Next slide. So again, I want to give a little context. Jake talked about last week that Jesus did some of his first miracles, right? The water to wine. So why this is important is at this point in Jesus' ministry, nobody knows who he is, like his disciples do, but he is not famous. He's just some freaking country bumpkin rolling up into the temple, right? And he's about to do some profound things. So you've got to think about that, you know, and when you're thinking about this, think about, like, what would you do if some dude from the country rolled up here on Sunday and started telling us what to do that none of us had heard of, talking about you need to do this and do that? Yeah, it wouldn't go well for him at all, right? And so, you know, and later in Jesus' ministry, he was super famous. And I'm not saying everyone believed who he said he was, but they knew he was somebody because he had a mob of 10,000 people with him everywhere he went, right? You got that kind of power. People are going to give you a little respect whether they believe you or not. So today, though, this is pretty much his first major public appearance in Scripture. And he just rolls up, and nobody knows who he is. So let's see what happens. And it says, John 2:13-15, Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, and the money changers doing business. Let's stop there. So think about this. This can go a lot of ways. Now we're going to touch a little bit with why this made Jesus angry, why God didn't like this. But one of the main purposes of probably being there was to worship, right? And here's a little side note. Often when I preach, I'm the greatest offender of what I preach about. So this whole sermon is full of those today. But imagine that you're there and they're singing some great songs up here, and I happen to be sitting behind you talking to someone the whole time, right? It's probably a little distracting. Right? You probably want to turn around and say something. Like, shut up. So imagine that that's not what's going down. We got some oxen and some sheep and some doves, and then we got some people over in the corner arguing about money. It's probably a little distracting, right? But think about this. Think about when you're at church on Sunday, and whenever we used to do the offering plate, right? And that's a little bit of a, there's a little bit of strategy to that, because when you see that plate going around, you feel a little convicted that you ought to put something in it. Now think about that you only got plastic that day. You don't have any money. And so think about, I got me a little card reader down here. And when you feel convicted, you come down here with your plastic and I mark it up 20% and call it the conviction tax, right? Now, I'm here to tell you, now the Jews were commanded, you know, through the Old Testament law to give offerings and give sacrifices. And we could spend all day with all those mean for what, but they were commanded to do it. So you got these people traveling from the surrounding areas. They get into the temple. They're there. They're feeling it because they're in the temple. It's Passover. Things going on. Then they see people giving offerings. They're like, oh, I didn't bring nothing, you know. So that conviction tax comes in, you know. So they go up front to get some of this. And I don't know this for sure, but I imagine those were the most expensive sheep, oxen, and doves in all of Jerusalem at that point, right? I bet it was like going to the Chiefs game and trying to buy a Coke and a hot dog, right? Super expensive. So in a sense, it looked on the surface like they were doing you a favor by having that stuff there, but they weren't. They were over there making profit off God's conviction, right? That's not how God gets down. Again, they missed the point. At that point, I don't think he's not more worried about them getting this gift, right? Then he's like, commune with me. Give me glory. Worship with me. A small taste of why he's probably upset. So what does he do? Number 15, the word when. In Scripture, it can be hard to keep up sometime with the timeline. But what the word when implies is that time has elapsed. We were talking about what Jesus was doing, and then it says when. That means there was a pause. Something is different, right? So pay attention to that. It said when he had made a whip of cords. When he had made a whip of cords. Now, I don't know as much about ancient Israel industrial manufacturing. I don't know that much about it. But I imagine that you couldn't go down the street and get a whip starter kit. I don't know, right? Now, I don't know if he had to, like, go to the leather tanner and, like, get some leather and then, like, wait for it to dry and whip it all together. But what I do know is that whatever he did, it was not instantaneous. It took some time, right? So we have to keep in mind that Jesus is not only God, but he's also fully man. And what does man have? Man has emotions. Now, I know if there's something that I'm passionate about and my emotions come into play and I get mad, it's exponentially more than it would usually be. Usually, I'm on a real quick trigger. Usually, it's about to come out regardless, right? Wrong or right. And we know that Jesus is passionate. He's proved it over and over again later in Scripture how passionate he is about the things of his Father. Right? When it comes to the things of God, he is a passionate individual. He's ready to let you know exactly how he feels. But what does he do? What does he do here? He leaves. So he comes in and he sees this stuff. And I can't imagine how he felt, right? Right? I mean, he comes in, he sees this stuff, and it's his Father's house, a place of worship, this place God had set up to commune with his people. And he sees all this nonsense going on. And you know, a money changer is basically like the temple. And I don't know all this for a fact. This is a little bit of assumption on my part, but I imagine that maybe the temple only took a certain kind of money. Maybe they only wanted Roman denarius. Maybe they wanted a certain kind of money. So you would have a money changer because not everyone had that. So they're like, well, I got 5 bits of this and 5 bits of that. Again, the exchange rate's probably terrible. These people were getting robbed left and right. So he walks in to this place, never mind all the other things they were doing wrong, and he sees this going on in God's house. He's like, he's upset, right? You know, and we got to think what could happen. Let's read this real quick. So when he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. So yeah, he was upset. Next slide, please. So it looks like that he acted out in anger, but he didn't because we have the word when. So what he did is he separated himself. He did a remedial task. Now, I don't know how hard it is to make a whip, but I imagine it didn't take all of Jesus' brain power to do it. So basically, he's doing something with his hands. Gives the emotions a chance to clear. Lets those chemicals clear his body. And it doesn't say that he was communing and praying with his Father, but throughout Scripture, Jesus has a running dialogue with God the Father. So while he's doing that, he's praying. He's like, Lord, I want to freaking tear him up, right? You know? And what's interesting about this is that we're in a situation, you know, Jesus' anger was righteous. Why is it righteous? Because he's on the side of God, and whatever God decides to be mad about, righteous. You know, doesn't matter. We could go into more of why, but that's basically the simple answer. If God says it's so, it's so. So he's there, he's upset, but keep in mind when we're in a situation, usually God doesn't tell us to go back and whip people out, right? He usually tells us to calm down. But so he's there, he removed himself from the situation, and then he waited for direction. But what's astounding is the direction. God still told him, hey, no, this is big deal. This is important. Now, I don't believe there is another place in Scripture where Jesus resorted to physical violence. And this is what he did. He resorted to physical violence. This was very martial. He went back and whipped him out of the church. It's a big deal. And that was after he prayed. But he didn't go back in anger. He came back with direction. He went back with intent from the Lord. But he still goes back, right? He still goes back and does these things. So again, many of us get in situations where we're passionate about something, right? We're fired up. We're ready to do something. And again, Jesus is fully human. So we got to think about what could have happened. Let's say Jesus didn't go make a whip of cords. What could have happened? Next slide, please. What could have happened? Well, with Jesus, knowing that he is fully man, so those emotions could boil up and he's fully God, he could have literally destroyed the people, the temple, or he could have just destroyed the whole world. Like, you guys suck. I'm starting over. Bam, right? That could have happened. You know, and that's very dramatic, but the same thing happens to us. What could have happened with us? Well, not quite as severe, but with us, we can hurt people physically or emotionally. And let's face it, many of us in here, there are a lot of you that are very prone to physical violence, right? If you get far enough along that spectrum of anger, some bad things could happen, right? Now, I'm not saying that you're going to destroy the people, but you could wake up in jail, right? At the very least, you could have a lawsuit, or you could just damage a relationship beyond repair. Those things could happen. It's not could happen. I would say those things have happened to many of us in here, looking like a fool more than once. Can destroy your reputation. You can, especially if you go around espousing what a good Christian you are, and then you have one of these situations, then they're like, well, look at him, right? That's how all those people at Maywood are. So what can we do? We can do what Jesus did. We can get into a situation, and we can stop, and we can pause, right? Now, it's not always logistically possible to separate yourself totally, right? But more often than not, it is possible to pause. Now, yes, it's super awkward, and you look like an idiot for a second when you're right there, and you're like, you just freeze, right? And you don't say nothing. And you give God a chance to speak to you. And again, often our anger is not righteous. I'm not thinking God's telling you you're right, and you need to go in there and whip him out with some cords. He's probably telling you you're wrong, and you need to shut up. That's usually what it tells me, right? So, but if he does tell you to go in there and whip him some cords, you're right. Well, more power to you, because God told you to, right? Just be sure. And yes, it's weird if you stop and make a pause, but I promise you that pause that you make, however awkward and ridiculous looking, is going to be way less memorable than if you just snap out right then, right? They're going to forget that pause by the next day. If you snap out, you're never, ever living it down. So let's see what happens next. Next slide. And it said, and he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Notice the exclamation point. He is still speaking with a high level of volume. Again, we've established that he's not angry at this point. He's coming in and doing God's direction. So now, this is such an important thing that he is doing the high volume for attention. This is a point he's trying to make. He is trying to really show him something that's important. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. This is super interesting. So this is the Jews' response. So the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show us since you do these things? Think about what they just did. Think about what you often do when God confronts you with something. Think about what your kids do when you confront them with something. Why did you do this? What about that? That's classic misdirection. Jesus telling them, why did you do this, this, and this? My house. They're like, whoa, I don't want to talk about that. Who are you, right? You know, they totally missed the point. I think I do that a lot with God. You know, but Brian, why are you doing this? Why is he doing that? Or what about this? Or what about that? Totally missed the point. And Jesus has a response to that. But now I want to do something that I'm never, ever, ever supposed to do. That Jake has taught me not to do, but said was okay last night. And I established that Maywood Baptist Church is a special church, so I think we can keep up. There's two points here, though. And often when we go through this portion of Scripture, we focus on one. But I feel like we should really, we're going to jump to a totally different subject here real quick, and then we're going to circle back. So guys, keep this in your mind. Keep in your mind that they just changed focus. Like he asked, he confronted them, and they shifted focus. We're going to come back. Right now, next slide. Right now, we're going to talk about a little more. I was thinking while I was going through this, I couldn't get through my head to stop, like, why was Jesus mad? And so we talked about it a little bit, because it was a house of merchandise. And I thought, well, maybe I should go through all of Old Testament law up there and we could establish why he was really mad. But then I was thinking, well, in my experience, knowing a bunch of theological stuff doesn't really help me in my day to day. So like, what's the better question? Well, the better question is, what would Jesus say if he walked in here today? What would Jesus say if he saw how I acted at Maywood Baptist Church today or any day? Would Jesus be so upset with me that he would go pray and God would still tell him to whip me out of here into the front, in front of everybody? There's probably some times that'd be a yes. I don't know. But then I was like, well, how can we really know what Jesus thinks or if he'd be upset if we don't really know why we're here? I was like, wouldn't it be cool if there was 5 bullet points that we could do every Sunday that we don't really know that would make Jesus happy, but we know wouldn't make him mad? So I came up with some. So why are we here? I would say, first and foremost, one of the reasons we're here, especially on Sundays, is to worship. That's what we just did, or that's what we attempted to do. Now, and for total transparency, real worship is probably not something I've done here since before the pandemic. Everything got all weird when we were outside. We've been back inside. And this ain't the music's fault. This ain't the church's fault. This ain't no one's fault but me. But I've never been in tune since we've been back. It just hasn't happened. And that's something I need to work on. But we are here to worship. And what is worship? that's coming together and singing to God, showing him, giving him the glory he deserves. Lift him up and let him know that we know who he is and we know who we are. And those are two totally different things on two totally different levels. So I'd say we're here to worship every Sunday. Probably need to check that off. Number two, to fellowship. You can't convince me that we don't come together as a body and we're not supposed to fellowship, right? I'd say it's very important. Fellowship looks a lot of different ways. Another one I fell at miserably. But, you know, sometimes it's just saying hi. And a lot of you are really good at greeting people. Make people identify that someone's there. Make them feel important. Sometimes it's just to listen. Sometimes it's just to be with them, you know, just to be with fellow Christians. Fellowship, very important. To learn. I would say each and every time we're at this church that every one of us, that's me included, should be able to learn something. I'd say if you're not able to learn something, it's because you are either too close-minded, you're not listening, or you already think you know everything, you know, which is where I usually fall. So every Sunday, God's got something to teach each and every one of us. And look, sometimes learning isn't learning about what to do. Sometimes learning is reinforcing what you shouldn't do. So sometimes when you're in a class somewhere, and let's go to teach real quick. To teach. You got to be careful with this one. I don't want you rolling up in front of your Sunday school and be like, Brian told me I should teach. No, it's not what it means. But it does mean that when God opens up opportunities when you're here, that we all have something to offer. And like the point I was just about to make is sometimes what we have to offer is just telling someone what we went through because maybe they're on the edge of going through it too. Sometimes what we did and how it was a total, utter, destructive failure can convince someone not to do it too. Sometimes we can teach people by telling them what not to do. Now, whether or not they listen is a totally different story, but at least they heard it, right? And if they hear it enough ways, maybe they will get into it. And then probably the most important one out of all of it is to love. What does that mean, right? Sometimes love, well, the Bible says to speak the truth in love. Excuse me. So speak the truth in love, in my mind, is an excuse to keep it real with people. Probably not what God had in store. But sometimes to love is to not say anything at all and just listen. Sometimes to love is just to be with that person, right? Just show them they're important, right? Sometimes to love is to help them out, or sometimes it's to not. But we should all, in one way, shape, or another, be trying to love on someone. And I would say that we should be able to hit all five of these on every Sunday. I know for me personally, I'm not batting 1,000 here. It's 2 out of 5, you know, on most Sundays is probably real good. And that's me being complacent, right? And granted, I don't know that if me not hitting those is enough to make me make Jesus want to whip me out here, but it could be. But I do know for a fact that if I do all these things, he is not going to want to, right? So there's no reason that we shouldn't try to check all these off. The cool thing about these is that it's not too late for today. We can get all these in. Now I want to jump back. Jump back. Next slide, please. So let's jump back. So Jesus, we remember that they just shifted focus. Jesus said, hey, you guys are making my father's house a house of merchandise. You're totally missing the point of being here today. And the Jews are like, whoa, what about this? They don't want to talk about what he's really talking about. And Jesus, being who he is, he always speaks the truth, whether you want to hear it or not. And often in the times when we're trying to shift focus and we're all combative and we're trying to do a little dialogue and some wordsmithing with Jesus, he ain't trying to hear that. He just speaks right through it. Whether you're there to receive it, that's a different story. And if, especially in my life, I've noticed that sometimes when Jesus tells me stuff, it takes a little while for me to get it. It's like he speaks past me. I got it. Jesus is so far ahead of me, it might take me 6 months to catch up and be like, oh, that's what he was talking about. I get it. And that's what he does here. And Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you'll raise it in 3 days? But he was speaking to the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. They didn't even know what he was talking about till he was dead, right? That's how long it took him to catch up. You know, and so just keep that in mind. There's not really a lesson there. Is when you're, you know, I know for me, I've always got a rebuttal to somebody, especially Jesus, and it's not my fault, or I can talk my way into being right. Well, I'm not saying it's true, but I can make it sound good more often than not. And I can do that with the Lord. And, you know, and he ain't trying to hear it. Most people aren't. But Jesus keeps it real and talks right through it. And it may take a little while. So when you're in those situations and whatever you hear, you know, maybe take note of it, because in about 6 months or something, it's probably going to come back to bite you. You know, just a little side note. So I know we've covered a lot of ground. This is a very meaty passage. It doesn't seem so on the surface, but once you get into it, there is a lot of stuff here. But the two main points, what are they? The first one is, let's next slide, please. Anger and its neck-jerking reaction, its neck-jerking emotional response needs to be allowed to pass. Remove yourself. If you can't leave, at least pause and take a breath. Stop and give the Spirit a chance to lead. Touch base with Jesus and come back with direction, not emotion. I can't think of any scenario where acting in emotion is going to benefit you in the long run. I can't think of anyone. What is emotion? It's a chemical reaction in your brain. Sometimes it aligns with reality. Sometimes it doesn't. You know, it's definitely not a good defense in court. It's not an excuse. So we need to not act out of emotion. And for me personally, my emotions, wow, they're ready to go real a lot quicker than my brain. So I have to pause. And like, and again, sometimes that pause is telling someone on the phone, I got to call you back, right? I can't do this right now. You're not going to like this conversation. Sometimes it's pausing, especially with my kids. Sometimes it's a just stop. He's like, what is wrong with you, right? And I just stare at him. So God can have time to process how I don't need to do all the things I'm thinking of doing right then, you know? And that's okay, because you got to give God time. It's not that God needs time. It's that we need time to receive what he has to say. You know, so take that break, take that pause, however it looks. Trust me, in the long run, it's going to pay dividends. Your life will be better, and the life of your loved ones, well, you'll probably stay married. I don't know, you know, things can help you out. Number two, second main point, why are we here? To worship, to fellowship, to learn, to teach, and to love. The cool thing about this today, again, is that church ain't over, right? So I'm about to call the band down, all the small group leaders, and we're going to pray. And we're going to sing some songs. So if you didn't get your fellowship, if you didn't get your worship down, you can. And if you just get close to someone next to you, sing together, get your fellowship down, right? Maybe you don't know what I'm freaking talking about, and you think all this stuff's weird, and you need to come down here and ask some questions, and you can learn. Or maybe something happened to you recently that you feel like you need to share down here, and maybe someone can learn from what not to do. Or maybe you got a word from God, and they need to learn something you got to say. Maybe you got a message. I don't know, right? But what I'm saying is there's no reason each and every one of us can't check this off right now. So don't be scared, and let's get this done. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you are an awesome God. And again, just thank you for who you are. And I'd ask that as we come down here to pray, that you allow each and every one of us to check this off the box. I ask that you just give us some true worship right now, Lord, and let us connect with who you are. And God, you are an awesome God, and you gave us an awesome church. And Lord, please help the Chiefs win. In Jesus' name, pray, amen.